Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking, and if it is the second Tuesday of the month from 2 to 3, it must be Breaking Murphy's Law, starring Mike Hoffman. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about you, Dave?
I am doing great. Of course, you're on every first Monday and Tuesday from 2 to 3, and it's a dynamite show because in today's times, people seem to be victim mentality, and Breaking Murphy's Law is a show about getting past the victim mentality as well as breakthrough thinking, going past your self-imposed limitations and creating a new enhanced life for yourself, your kids, and the community.
Wow. Man, that was pretty good, Dave.
I didn't even write it down. Hey. How did I do that?
I don't know, but you must live it.
I do live it, and sometimes I'm very live it. Yeah. I mean, that's a different word, but live it, yes.
No, I thought that was really good. You know, breaking Murphy's Law, we want to defeat Murphy's Law. We want to break Murphy's Law before Murphy breaks us.
Murphy's Law breaks us.
Right, and like you said, you know, we can often use things that we didn't expect to happen, which a lot of times we call bad luck. But, you know, sometimes we expect luck to be the thing that rules our lives. But, you know, I think, you know, there's something called preparation and perspiration. Yeah. And you put those together and you can kind of, you know, keep Murphy's Law from turning you into a victim.
Yeah, you don't always have to roll the dice and hope for the best. You can sort of create your own life. But we're really excited today, live here on Breakthrough Thinking and Breaking Murphy's Law. We have former Miss Arizona 2009 and the TV host for Joy in Our Town on TBN, Vanessa Rose Valerio. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very honored and pleased to be here today to join you to share some of my opinions if people want to hear them.
Well, I think they will because you got quite a background and you're just on the way up. I mean, it's great how I love hanging around successful people because evidently, right, Michael, I bet Vanessa knows how to break Murphy's Law.
I'm sure she does.
When she sees it coming, she steps aside. And it's about, you know, it's a mindset. You know, a big part of that is mindset. But let's go over some of your background before we get into the topic today. I see you were born in Upland, California.
Yes, I am a Southern California girl. I only lived there a few years, but it'll always be dear to my heart. So, yes, I am from California.
I was born in California.
Were you? Where in?
When or where?
Where.
Oh, good. Yeah, Michael, I was going to defer that to Mike. But
I've been to California.
Yes. San Fernando Valley.
Okay, beautiful.
Yeah, and I lived there up till 94. Then I moved here to Phoenix.
Why? No, I'm
kidding. That's a good one. No. Why? Well, Michael, you answer that. No, well, I know why
I moved to Phoenix. I was living in Michigan.
Oh, no wonder. Well, that's an explanation.
I thought Detroit or Phoenix. You know, yeah. But
anyway. Well, if you look at California, everything that can go wrong does go wrong. I mean, the fires, the mudslides, the earthquakes, the riots.
Oh, wow.
But they still have the ocean.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, but soon we'll have
the ocean.
Exactly. According to scientific.
That's why. I thought I'd get beachfront property while it's still affordable out here in Phoenix. So that is probably one of the reasons. It's just so big and crowded. I suspect you like the ocean.
I do. I love it and one day hope to be a Del Mar resident. So,
Del Mar. I got to say, that area, that's one place I would move back to in California, San Diego area, Del Mar.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a horse racing person?
I'm not. I rode horses for a while when I was younger, quarter horses. But
really?
Not a big horse racing person, just love the ocean, love seafood, love the culture, love being able to be outdoors year-round. So.
Seafood. Oh, that's a good topic. I love, let me ask you, have you been to Gladstone's for Fish in Santa Monica?
No, I have not.
Good.
Is it good?
Yeah, very good. Do you like king crab legs?
I love king crab.
There we go. Give me some knuckles.
You don't want to see me eat them, though. It's not pretty.
Oh, wow. Me neither. It's worse than my hair.
Well, but, if we were eating crab legs together, I'd be intense on my crab legs.
Would you?
I don't think I've ever seen anyone else eat crab legs while I'm eating crab legs.
Yeah, you like it too.
Yeah.
How about lobster?
Love lobster.
Are you intense on the lobster too?
Not quite as intense. You don't have to get in there with your hands.
Yeah.
But it's a little more ladylike to eat, I guess, versus a king crab leg where
so
you're gnawing on it. I do it all myself. I had a father that taught me how to clamp them with the little, I don't know the exact word for it, but I get in there myself and break them up. And
sometimes I just use a napkin so I don't get cut, and I just rip them open.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're more intense than I am.
Yeah. How about you, Mike?
Well, I use those cracker things, whatever you call them.
Oh, the cracker. That's what I was
I don't know if they're like. They're like nutcrackers, but I guess they're crab crackers or something like that.
Yeah, and regular soda crackers. But
okay.
So anyway, seafood. Okay, I love seafood. That's good.
Yes.
So that's why you like the ocean.
Yes. Well, it's one of the many reasons, but I do love it.
And then the sunsets are really nice.
Sunsets, you can walk. You can be outside year-round. It's just beautiful. You can fish. I love deep-sea fishing.
Really?
Yes.
Deep-sea fishing. You don't get seasick?
No,
nice.
I don't. I grew up doing it, so I absolutely love it. I know I don't look like it. Most people are very surprised. They look, they're like, 1 second, you have 4-inch heels on. But I like that, and I also love recreational shooting, so throw a few people for a loop. So
Mike, we better do a good job today.
Yeah, exactly.
So you kind of run around with Clint Eastwood a bit.
Yeah, exactly.
The shooting part, huh?
Make my day.
Exactly, my day.
We do have an empty chair here.
Yes, we do have an empty chair here.
You might have. I don't want to offend her. You might have two empty chairs.
So, okay, now I forgot what the next question was. Anyway, so deep sea fishing, what's the biggest fish or the type of fish you've caught in the past?
The biggest fish I caught was a bluefin tuna in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico.
Wow.
It was a 50-pound tuna. So
you did that? And
I did that myself. I caught it myself. So
how long did it take?
About half an hour.
That's it?
Yeah. It took about half an hour, though, to fight it and get it up. And I enjoyed very much eating it. It was delicious. There's something about catching your own food that really makes it more enjoyable.
So how do you do that? So you catch it, and then what's the process of preparation, I guess?
You can do whatever you'd like with it, but typically on the boat, the people are trained. My father used to do it whenever we go, but unfortunately, I don't butcher it myself. I know how to, but I'm not very handy on a boat with a butchery knife while it's moving in the ocean. So the people and the crew, they go ahead and take the fish and fillet it for you, and they'll serve it to you raw there with some soy sauce and wasabi.
You can eat tuna raw?
It's delicious.
That's
it doesn't even taste like fish, because it's so fresh. It's still warm. It's wonderful. Yeah.
Oh, it's warm?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's out of the ocean, of course. Yeah.
I thought the ocean was cold.
No. No, not down by Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe if you're up in Alaska, then you could eat some salmon.
You're right.
But,
it's like 85, 90 degrees.
Yeah, it is.
So it's like room
That's
temperature.
Why tuna is so lean, because it doesn't need to stay warm.
Oh, that is so cool. So, I mean, so warm.
I'm a book of useless information.
That is good. So, so it's like going to a sushi bar.
Yeah, it is, except it's right there in front of you, and you get as much as you want for.
Wow.
And some for later, too. So,
Mike, what do you say? You want to go deep sea fishing?
Let's go. Yeah.
And
all right.
Where is it? In the Gulf of Mexico?
Yeah, you can go anywhere. San Diego is great for deep sea, too, but down in Mexico has a lot of great fishing. So.
Wow. So you're like Wonder Woman. You do a little bit of everything.
That's funny. I've been called that before.
Really?
So that's I don't have an invisible car, but.
Oh.
unfortunately, I'm still working on that. So.
So how about you go out when there's 3 and 4 foot swells?
More than that. Yeah, we've had to turn around. I've gone out on 2 and 3 day voyages with my dad and brother to the point where we had to turn around, and there you would get seasick. It's not pretty. The ocean can be very rough. I have a very healthy respect for the water. So
because you saw the movie The Perfect Storm?
Yeah,
that
I
was
don't
sad,
ever
want to
be caught in that. That movie was terrible. It was very, very sad. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That remember who was in that? Let's see, George
Clooney,
and who else?
Was it George Clooney?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't
he was
I don't
the
remember.
Captain.
Yeah, he was.
Captain Kangaroo.
Yeah.
No, I mean the captain. Okay, so let's go over some more of your background, then we'll get more into the topic today. However, so you've been a model.
Yes, I actually am currently signed with Arizona Model and Actor Management, so still do that.
So you're still doing that?
Yes.
So how long have you been a model?
I... I did it a lot as a child, actually. I did a lot of child modeling, and then I stopped, and then I became a chubby little girl with frizzy, curly hair that everybody teased me.
I don't believe you could ever be chubby.
Yes. I was a very, very chubby little girl with frizzy, curly hair that everybody made fun of and teased awfully. I got back into pageantry about 14, actually about 9. I got back into scholarship, and then beauty pageants came about 14. And I started to grow up, and I am a perfect example of Murphy's Law because I decided to come above that and work very hard to help create a better future for myself and to be disciplined and to do things that otherwise would not be doable. So,
well, that is excellent, because what motivated you? Do you remember at that young age? What was a couple, maybe the one motivating factor or second one?
There was quite a few. One of them was I had a mother and a father. I had a much better relationship with my mom, but they expected excellence out of me, and they never allowed failure to be an option for me. And I think that's something that even in school, I would always get straight A's. If I ever came home with a B on my report card or on a paper, my mom would look at me and say, I'm proud of you for this, but I know that you're capable of an A. You're capable of excellence. Mm-hmm. So just that driving factor that I think so many parents don't take the time to put into their kids, and knowing that you can rise above your situation and that all things are possible as long as you continue pushing forward.
So that's interesting. So expectations from others with a positive attitude helps. Mm-hmm. But at what point did you expect it for yourself? Because, you know, sometimes people could have parents that are very supportive, and they may resist it mm-hmm. and go the opposite way. At what point do you remember saying, yeah, I can do this, and it's just not for my parents, but it's for you too?
I think it was kind of puberty and growing up and realizing that I wanted to feel better about myself and realizing that, you know, there were cute guys out there, you know, being in middle school. It's,
so guys
you know,
were motivating.
Well, not, no, guys weren't motivating,
just
but
kidding.
I think it's personal.
Hey, yeah. We're guys.
Yeah.
Good job, Dave and I.
Thanks.
We're among the group of motivators.
So. All right. We're self-motivators. We didn't have to do anything except... Okay. All right.
Anyways, back to the serious note.
Oh, yes.
But no.
I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you.
Oh, Mr. Tom, what was that? What were you?
I thought I was the only girl here. What's going on?
One second. I thought Mike was saying something like in the movie The Exorcist, or you were channeling something.
My head go around a couple times.
Well, I think my head went around a couple times. Like, where is that coming from? Live radio. What can you
yes,
say?
Yes, exactly. That's the fun
and
part.
And you know
of live,
Tom, don't you?
I do. He actually was my technician.
And
on
what
Saturday.
Would you say to him right now?
Actually, everyone makes a mistake. It's
there
okay.
we go.
So. We're proud of you, Tom.
Yeah, we're
still
proud
love
of you. Yeah.
No, but just as
you
as,
can
as
say a, another day.
As a motivating factor, I have to say that I did get carried away a little bit about 16 years old. I was raised very Christian, very conservative, very focused. I stopped playing my violin, stopped doing all those things, and I got involved with bad people for a couple years of my life, and I realized very quickly if you raise up a child in the way they should go when you're old, you won't depart from them. I was not old, mind you, but I just realized very quickly that I had so much more of a purpose in my life and something I'd always been taught, and I finally started to get that check in my spirit that said, okay, you know what, you do have a purpose. This life is empty. Looking at people in their 30s and 40s that were living that kind of lifestyle, saying, hold on just a second, this isn't excellence. This isn't a purpose-filled life. So,
that, you know, that's good. You know, I was going to say great courage to say that, but I think that happens to so many people where, you know, you grow up, you get maybe have a great set of parents, maybe not. In your case, it sounded like you did. But then sometimes you get off a little track, but you come back, and mm-hmm. that's the most important thing. You come back to what your purpose is meant to be. And sometimes, and let me ask you this, do you think by getting off track that makes everything better? Stronger for you to say, hey, I've seen, you know, one side, I've seen part of another side, and I can honestly say what not to do?
I don't think that you have to get off track to be a good person, but I think that failures in life make you appreciate success. And I think that whenever you get an opportunity to see the other side firsthand from a personal experience, it makes you realize how much more grateful you are whenever you do surround yourself with good people and you do create a good, positive future for yourself rather than staying shuttered in that. And the problem, though, is unfortunately so many people will get caught up in that lifestyle and they don't know a way out and they don't know any different. And so you see a lot of that, especially here in people that I had associated with. You see how they get caught up in this repetitiveness of no purpose and of no real future. And I think that unfortunately they never had that strong voice in their life, where with me it was my parents and it was my faith. And that was something that after being a part of it, I realized very quickly that this was not for me. So,
and that's what makes you who you are today. You're the path. You're sort of the light for others to give great advice, to follow. And I think that's remarkable. Why don't we take a quick break? And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Vanessa Rose Valerio, TV host of Joy in Our Town, TBN. When is that on, by the way?
It's on 5 times a week, Monday, Tuesday. I don't know the exact times by memory. I'm sorry.
But that's okay.
If you go to my website, you can see more about it.
And we'll give that out after this break. And Mike, of course, we'll be back talking about success with Vanessa.
Okay.
This is Breaking Murphy's Law. We'll be right back.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
Hi, I'm Paul and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
And online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And this is Breaking Murphy's Law, starring Mike Hoffman. And Mike, what a great in-studio guest we have, Vanessa Rose Valerio, host of Joy in Our Town on TBN 5 times a week. Go to the website. Is it www.VanessaRoseValerio.com?
Yes, and it's Valero, just, you know, it's
V-A-L-E-R-O. Oh, Valero.
I always like to tell people it's just like the gas station. No, I'm not an inheritor. I'm just waiting to get a letter that I am the inheritor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, darn. Okay. Valero. That's
yes.
Even better.
Yes.
Well, I think Vanessa's very compatible with our show, the concept of Breaking Murphy's Law. You've made a couple comments that have kind of reinforced things we've talked about in the past. You know, one is there's a quote by John Wooden I like to quote every now and then. And it's he said that your best, give your best whenever it's required. Your best is required every day. I thought I heard you say something along those lines about always doing your best or give them the best that you have.
That's very true. I think that every day we need to approach. One of my favorite movies is Anne of Green Gables, which many people may have not heard of. But Anne in that movie had said several times that every day is a new day with no mistakes in it. Mm-hmm. And I think that every day we have to wake up and we have to refresh ourselves and say, you know what, regardless of what happened yesterday or the day before, we have an opportunity to move forward for the future and not live for the past. And so I think it's very important that every day, it doesn't matter if you're the CEO of a company or you're the janitor of a business or you're a police officer, or you're a teacher, you as yourself owe to yourself to give yourself your best every day toward whatever your goal is and whatever you're doing in your life.
Oh, great, great. You know, and I think one of the things, we all have a higher purpose in our life, and part of that is reaching our own personal potential.
Mm-hmm.
And just talking to you, I think that you are developing your own awareness of your potential and where you want to go, and I think that's fantastic also.
Yeah, and that's one thing I always say. I've gone and done a little bit of speaking, and I always tell people that unfortunately in our graveyards are laying possibly the cure to cancer and so many books and so many theories and so much research and so many good things that could have happened to our world, but those people never understood their full potential or never pushed themselves or never had a mentor in their life that helped push them to that. And so I think it's so important to place good people in your life that will help you if you don't know what your potential is, to help you develop and mature that. And as I mentioned to you, I don't mind sharing with the radio audiences that I am only 22 years old, and that's something that many people...
Hearts are breaking all
yes.
over.
I am only... I'll be the whole ripe age of 23 in just a couple weeks. But I think it goes to show that something to be said about that is that age should not define your destiny, regardless of how young or how old you are.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're 18 years old or whether you're 70 years old, it doesn't matter, as long as you know that you are capable of achieving something great or doing something great to help others. And so I think that unfortunately in this day and age, a lot of people allow age and circumstances to create their destiny and create who they become. And they have to learn to move past that and see the bigger picture and realize they do have a purpose and a destiny in this life.
You know, it's interesting about the age deal. So some people, what you're really saying, that even though you're young, you can break the belief that, hey, just because I'm young, 20, 21, 22, doesn't mean I can't achieve many, many things like you have. And on the other hand, the opposite end is, just because someone believes they're there in the twilight of the years doesn't mean you still can't accomplish great things.
And that's very true. And I, like I said, it goes for either end of the spectrum, whether you're very young or whether you are older. A lot of people will give up, especially whenever they're older. If they're younger, they're saying, don't worry about it. I remember whenever I was 17, 18 years old, I didn't have to work three jobs, but I did. I was working all the time. I was pushing forward. I was hosting, you know, charity events and doing all these things. And people would say, what are you doing? You're 18 years old. Calm down, slow down, you know, just enjoy your life a little bit. And I'd say, you know what, I am enjoying life and I'm working so hard right now because there's no reason I need to wait till I'm 30 or 35 to be successful. And that's something that I think especially a lot of young people need to realize. And also parents and grandparents of people, is to encourage their young people in their life to really push forward and to break the barriers of age.
Now, what's a good example of on the older side? There was one famous guy that got turned down and turned down, and finally...
Not Colonel Sanders.
Yeah.
Really, him?
Okay. I think at 80 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. No, that's pretty amazing.
Well, he got his first Social Security check, and he says, I can't live on this.
Oh.
And is that how KFC came about?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
I didn't know that.
He started hitting the road. He said, well, what do I got? I need... this isn't enough money. And he had his own restaurant, and he had a recipe for chicken, and he just hit the road, and he went to place, and he would offer to give the recipe to people if they just give him, you know, a piece of the profit from every piece of chicken they sold.
Wow.
But he got 1,000 no's and he got a yes.
Well, I think that's a big thing, is a lot of people that created big companies and big enterprises and big successes heard a lot of no's. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that people need to remember, is if they are on a road to trying to reach something, you're going to hear a million no's before you hear a yes. And that sounds discouraging, but that's the truth. And you just have to keep pushing until you get the yes.
And that sort of ties into what you said earlier, is failure is not an option.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
mm-hmm.
talk about that, because I think that it has a lot of implications. And neuro-linguistic programming, I don't know that's if you know this, but that's what part of the show is about. Tony Robbins is the most well-known. He's a motivational speaker. But it's all about mindset. And they have a presupposition saying that there's no such thing as failure, only feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at everything that happens in your life, not as failure, but what can I learn from this? It can push you forward.
You know, and that actually goes to one of my favorite quotes, is every situation in life can be used as stepping stones or stumbling blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that is so simple yet so profound if you actually think about it, because every person in their life is going to encounter heartache. Every person in their life is going to encounter failure. But the problem is whether you have to allow that to overtake you or to build character in your life. And I think that a lot of people need to look past those things in their life they think are holding them back, whether it be where they came from, what neighborhood they grew up in, what their parents were like. One of my favorite things is that, you know, God doesn't make illegitimate kids. He makes illegitimate parents. You as a person are not illegitimate. You as a person are not a failure. You have to learn, and you have to choose to rise above that and not allow yourself to be a victim. And I think that being a victim for a lot of people is a more comfortable position. It really is. You sit back and can point fingers and can blame other people. I have a lot of situations growing up in my life that I could have very easily sat back and cried victim. And I said, you know what? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to choose to rise above that. And so just like you said, it is truly a state of mind. And if you look at life like a multi-optional, am I saying that wrong? But as a test, and you have two answers. What is life going to be? You can either choose success or failure. And as long as you don't allow that to be a failure in your failure to be an option in your life, instead of calling things that don't work failures, call them character builders, mm-hmm. call them stepping stones, call them a brick wall that you're building to your future, a staircase that you're using to get forward, and not allow it to hold you back. And to define you is the biggest thing.
Wow. Well said. And I know Mike is big on this, is that victims really don't take accountability or responsibility. And Mike, mm-hmm. let's bring this up. I mean, how big is accountability and responsibility? Or I should rephrase that, how empowering is it mm-hmm. when you're accountable for something?
Right.
And how empowering is it when you're responsible?
Well, that's everything.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can take control of your own life, then nothing can stop you. I mean, it may not be easy, but you need to continue moving forward. And there's like a concept called return on luck. And there's good luck and there's bad luck. And do you think, and there's winners and losers. Now, do you think winners have any more good luck than losers? Do losers have any more bad luck than winners? And actually, there's been studies on successful winning companies and mediocre companies, and they find they all have equal opportunities for good and bad luck, but it's what they do with them. So it's really important to not squander your good luck and make the most out of it. And the thing is, if you have good luck and you just rely on that for the success of your moment and not learn from it or be careful, that can just kind of lead you to mediocrity. So then the bad luck, even for winners, because you face unfortunate circumstances, they use that as a defining moment to help them move forward in a different kind of way.
So anyone a football fan here?
Kind of. Okay. Not terribly, but I watched occasionally.
Because there's good luck for the football fans, bad luck, and there's Andrew luck.
Yeah, okay.
And the draft choice out of Stanford. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, that wasn't so funny.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right.
Sorry.
That's okay. Wait, I hear people laughing that are sports fans out there right now. Why don't we take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Vanessa Rose Valero and, of course, Mike Hoffman here on Breakthrough Thinking and Breaking Murphy's Law. We'll talk about more about success and and explore that a little bit more about failure is not an option. I really like that, and I'll explain why right after this one.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074, to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
And now, one of my favorite attorneys, Joe Collins. You have a great firm, a family atmosphere with great sophistication.
That's my dad's kind of theory when we started. He always kind of touts himself as the old country lawyer. We pride ourselves at having somebody answer the phone. You don't have a computer system answering it. We try to give personal service.
Tell us a little bit about the firm in terms of where you focus your attention.
We probably do 60-70% family law, and we really enjoy it. Family law encompasses such a wide variety of topics. But, you know, for the most part, you feel rewarded that you're helping somebody out. Family law is probably the most rewarding.
Why don't we give your website out?
It's real simple, collinslaw.net. The email's just the same, joecollins@collinslaw.net.
602-788-7227. Call Joe Collins and Collins. Great family law attorneys and more.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is Breaking Murphy's Law, starring Mike Hoffman, every first Monday and Tuesday from 2 to 3. And Mike, our in-studio guest, really is a role model. And she's been a model, but now a role model.
Wow.
She currently is a model, I should say, Vanessa Rose Valero. And Vanessa, really, it's, you know, we were talking off there that, can I say your age?
Oh, yeah, I already did.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But I don't know. Can you?
Oh, yeah. I can. All right. But it's amazing that at the young age of 22, you've done so many things. It seems like almost a lifetime. How does it seem like to you?
I agree. Occasionally, you get a little bit tired. But a lot of people say, you know, well, how have you really accomplished all these things and done all these things at only 22? But fortunately, I was very blessed to be homeschooled from sixth grade on. and finished high school at 16. So within that time of school, where many people would have spent their entire time being in school and not really doing much else other than learning, which is not a bad thing. I mean, education is very important, and I still got my education. But being homeschooled, I had the flexibility, and I still traveled with my parents, and I worked. And so I've worked since, actually, I started little wrapping companies and babysitting companies at like 10 and 11. I've always loved money,
wow.
And I understand that working hard, you have to, in order, if you want money, you have to work hard. So I learned that very quickly. And so I've always worked, but I've legally been working with taxes and all that since I was 15 and 7 months, which is the legal working age here. So always just kind of pushed myself and realized that time, unfortunately, is our enemy, and it's something we can't get back. And if you don't take advantage of the moment, then it's not going to come back to you. So,
wow, you're an entrepreneur at a young age.
Yeah, I remember I was 10 years old, and I started a gift wrapping business. At Christmas time, I would make $500 to $600 at 10 and 11 years old, and I'd wrap all the people's several families' Christmas presents in the neighborhoods, and I would deliver them late on Christmas Eve whenever Mr. Nicholas would have, and so I
Nicholas
went ahead.
Cage, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Nicholas Cage.
Oh, wrong.
Well, in
Mr.
case there's
Nicholas.
Any kids listening, I would never want to
oh.
break their heart.
Oh,
on
I got
that,
you.
Yeah. So
nicely
no,
done.
But yeah, I went ahead and helped them with that, and so always just believed in hard work ethic, and that's something that coming from a Chilean immigrant father who moved here whenever he was 23, he never worked for anyone a day in his life. Of course, he had failures and successes. Sometimes he was doing very well. Sometimes he wasn't. But he always taught me, even whenever he was doing very well, never gave me a credit card or anything to just go do as I pleased. He said, you know, I'll take care of you and what you need, but if you want above and beyond that, you have to work hard. And so he always implanted that work ethic in me that I think is so important and that parents really need to do with their kids.
You know, this is interesting, because what would you tell people out there in today's times that seem to maybe have lost their motivation or not really have much motivation, that unfortunately may end up playing the victim,
or maybe they have a sense of entitlement of
or that and yeah, I mean, because as I'm listening to you, at age 10 to be able to have that drive, if you can learn it at age 10, I suspect some of the adults out here in society in this time and age would be able to learn it.
You can. I was very blessed to have the parental influence that really encouraged that. But I think that as an adult, if you ever feel that you're too intelligent to learn, then you're not intelligent at all.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that people need to step down off their soapbox of pride and realize that sometimes we have to be willing to take the lower job. And someone at 20, my parents were divorced after 28 years. I had to go and start getting jobs. I had to go work as a barista, and I had to go do different things that I really wasn't very comfortable doing. I had already worked, you know, the minimum wage jobs at 16, and I didn't want to go back and do that. I know I was only 20, but I was already working for a television station, but I got to a point where I had to go take care of myself. And it was in the face of pride, which everyone has a little bit of pride, whether you admit it or not, you do. You have to do things that you don't necessarily want to do, but you have to do. And so I think that getting rid of that sense of entitlement and that sense of victim is a choice. If you're a person, unfortunately, especially in this day and age, though, you don't really have to feel it as, I guess it's terrible to say, I don't think you should ever feel ashamed, but many people do if you have to go take a minimum wage job or go do something to make ends meet. But in this day and age, I think it's even more regardable and understandable because of the economy and how many people are hurting. So I don't think people will look down upon you, and you have to be willing to rise above that and realize that if you're willing to sacrifice at the time, it will pay off in the end.
So really what you're saying, you do what it takes.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, within the law, of course, but you do what it
takes. Please don't go rob a bank. That's not what I'm saying.
I had to qualify that. But that's very important. And it's a great, not only a skill set, it's really a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. People, if they took that attitude, how different would the world be right now?
Oh, my goodness. If people would take pride in their work, and if people would take pride in what they do and would release that sense of entitlement. You know, a very brief story is that at TBN, we had his hand extended out of the back, and we used to give toys. And the owners of TBN, Paul and Crouch, go abroad and hand out dolls and little toy trucks to little children in Haiti and different countries. And so they sent those to us here. They sent us several hundred of each. And they said, please give these out to all the children. And if you can, film a little bit of it so we can use some footage for on air to show. And I was appalled. I could not believe that I was one of the people that stood there and was handing toys out to kids. And I had little 6, 7, 8-year-olds looking at me saying, where's my iPad? What is this? And
really?
And disgusted that I would hand them a Barbie doll or a little toy truck. And all they could care about is where their electronics were and where this was. And these are children that are considered needy in our country. If you look at the poor of this country are not poor on international standards, you know. And I think that sense of entitlement has gone from all the way from the poorest all the way up. And unfortunately, it's something that you have to I really, to be honest, I've had people say, well, I hear you say this, but what can you do to change it? Honestly, I wish I had a fix-all answer for you, but I don't. But I think it's something that you have to take that decision in your own life to move past that sense of entitlement. And you need to learn to be grateful. It doesn't matter what you're handed, what you're given. If you always have a spirit of joyfulness and gratitude, that will bring you so far in life.
So let's take a look at this, because now I'm really intrigued by this, that you saw little six-year-olds.
It was so sad.
So let's look at, I mean, it is sad, but I think it's got to be a reflection, and see what Mike thinks about this as well. Could this be a reflection of different standards and values in society, where advertisers, maybe big companies, are so profit motivated and competitive? Could somehow this all integrate in to create a changing set of values? And the kids are picking up on this. Obviously, parents are too. What's your take?
Well, it must be everywhere in society, on TV and, you know, everything that we're exposed to in the media and television shows and whatever. I can give you a personal story. We lived in Slovakia for a few years, and my daughter was a junior in high school, and she invited some kids over from her high school. And the first thing, they came in our house, and people in Slovakia, they live pretty humbly. They probably, the typical person makes $300 or $400 a month, and they don't consider themselves poor, but that's not very much money. They learn to live simpler, but and you go to the grocery store, and people don't have their shopping carts full. If you have a full shopping cart, and they have shopping carts just like we do, it use kind of are noticeable. But these kids came in our house and said, yeah, we can tell this is an American house. There's food everywhere.
Really?
And I think so. People have a concept of us, but we have a concept of ourselves also that we're not even aware of, because we're programmed by, you know, all the influences that are around. And it's kind of set our expectations.
Well, and I think that's something to be said, is the fact that, like I said, the poverty in our country and an international standard is not poverty. Mm-hmm. And that being said, we are blessed to be American citizens and to live in the richest country and the most powerful country in the world. But the problem is there's nothing wrong with that. There's no need to feel a sense of guilt for that. But it is important to teach your children and to remember as an adult to be grateful and to have a sense of gratitude and to take the opportunity to remember that there are people out there who have much less than you do, and to reach your hand out and to help them. But again, it's not feeling guilt. It's not feeling guilt for being successful or for having a lot. I think that's something that unfortunately has started to happen in our country, where we're almost creating a sense of guilt for being successful. There's no reason for that. If you've worked hard and you have what you have, be grateful for it, but always have a sense of gratitude and always have a heart that wants to give out and that wants to help others, and teach your children that. I think that's the most important thing, because guess what? They're not going to learn it from TV. They're not going to learn it from Facebook. They're not going to learn it from the internet. Stop letting that babysit your children. Be an adult. Be responsible and take a little bit of time to teach your children good values, which are unfortunately is very much, very rapidly being lost in this generation.
So let's ask you this question, because one of your goals is politics. Mm-hmm. We talked off there a little bit. Although you're too young right now.
I
see, there's something in HR.
I know, it holds me back. But you know what?
You get a driver's license, but you can't run for Senate.
Most 18 to 20-year-olds probably shouldn't be running for office, the majority. But
yeah, but you're light years ahead of
yeah,
your age.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I think those laws are in place there for the majority, not for the minority. But yeah, politics is hopefully a platform at some point, God willing, that I will partake in, because I feel that politicians are there for the people. It says, by the people, for the people. And I think many politicians have lost sight of the fact that they're supposed to be there for us and to help us. And I want to be one of those people that can get in there and be an honest, good voice, which we don't have much of anymore in politics. So,
well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to explore that a little bit more on how politicians can maybe help change the values of society. That will be interesting, because maybe that's what it takes, not just the mechanics of being a politician, but maybe from one's heart and soul might be something that we'll explore when we come back from our break.
At Beerenbaum and Speen PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Speen works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
And online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Breaking Murphy's Law, starring Mike Hoffman, every first Monday and Tuesday from 2 to 3. We have special in-studio guest Vanessa Rose Valero, TV host for Joy in Our Town, TBN, five times a week. Go to the website, VanessaRoseValero.com, and you'll find out when it's on.
Yes.
Beautiful. This is great. And you have a great website, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you. I actually developed that myself.
Did you really? That is fantastic.
Another thing that Vanessa does.
Wow. That's amazing. That is amazing.
You'll help me with my website then. Oh, good.
Wow. I actually developed a few of them. I did. I had an independent marketing company for a while, so I developed websites and things of that nature.
Wow, you've done so many things. Now, We left off because the listeners are really dying to hear this topic. You might be going into politics. In fact, I could see you being a politician in a good way, mm-hmm. where you're out there because you want to help people, you want to help the country, you want to do what's right.
Well,
so that I could see that.
And to me, I love America. I absolutely love the United States of America. I love what we were founded on. I had the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. for the first time last year. And I remember standing on the foots of the Lincoln Memorial where Martin Luther King gave his speech.
Yeah.
And it truly, I was there with a friend and there were some people walking by. They probably thought I was crazy. But I honestly started crying because I saw where our country has come from. And unfortunately, some of the really bad turns we've taken, especially on the morality spectrum of things. It's gone off the deep end and especially in my generation, it makes me very sad to see what is now acceptable in society. And I love this country and I would love nothing more than to have the opportunity to try and do my part to keep it the great country that we've always been. So,
well said. And that brings us to the topic. We all discussed how society, the values might have been shifting, and when you talked about little kids wanting iPads when you're handing out, you know, charitable type things to these little kids that are supposed to be needy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're not happy because they're not getting an iPad instead of a truck or a Barbie doll or something like that. So, I mean, where does it start is the real question. I mean, is it what's the contribution of the politicians? What's the responsibility of corporate America? That seems to be, unfortunately, oftentimes greedy by appearance. All the media, I mean, we're bombarded with profit, things to make you happy versus just having inner joy.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to start on that?
Well, I'm just wondering if, as a country, do we know what our values are? I mean, we have the Constitution, right? Mm-hmm. We have the Declaration of Independence. We have the Pledge of Allegiance. We have all these things. But do we really know what our values are? And have we just kind of like taken things for granted and we've just kind of lost sight of that? Because, you know, a successful business, a successful organization of any type, they will start out, these are our values.
Yeah.
And they list them. And then they make sure that the whole team, that they got a team of people that accept those values and is compatible with them. But I kind of suspect, you know, in this country, we don't, definitely the Democrats and Republicans don't seem to share the same values.
No.
They're kind of arguing over a lot of stuff. But, you know, but they're not exactly saying, I don't think, exactly what they are. You know, but anyway, what do you guys think?
I think that part of it has to do with, I think a lot of it started in the baby boomer age and a lot of the things that occurred from that generation. And you came into the hippie movement and you came into all these things that, you know, peace, love, man, you know, hugs, everything's good, everything's fine, we love everyone. And that's very true. We are supposed to love everyone. We're supposed to accept and embrace everyone in different cultures. However, as a country, we did start out as a country based on morality. And we now have a large group of people that label themselves progressives. And anyone who wants to hold true to traditional values is considered extremist or boring or ultra-religious or any of these things. And I think that we need to realize that whenever you label yourself a progressive and say, we need to progress with society, what does that really mean? What are we progressing toward? I mean, what is their ultimate goal? What do they want us to become? I remember that as a kid, we were not allowed to watch HBO. That was not allowed in our house, along with many other things. But if you look on TV now, on everyday cable, you look at what is allowed on television, it's 10 times worse than the things that were on HBO at that time, you know?
Yeah.
And this is things that every age group has accessibility to, even really young people. And I think it's something that it does start in the home. I think that politicians and corporations are going to continue to be greedy. They're going to continue to be corrupt. They're going to continue not to be a good, positive influence on society. But I think we have to realize that, unfortunately, one thing we've lost is the value of family and the value of spending time with your family and keeping accountability to your parents and to each other. And I think that we need to really spend that time as Americans and realize that that America starts in the home. America starts in the family, and that you need to keep your children accountable. And you know what? Unfortunately, we're in the world and all that crap is going to be out there. But you have to monitor what your children are doing. You have to monitor and keep yourself accountable. Have a friend, have a pastor, have someone. If you're not religious, have a friend, a good person of moral standings, that will keep you accountable, you know, and I think that's something that we've lost in society is accountability.
So there's a show that I watched all the time. I loved it. It might be before your time, but you seem to probably know all this. Anyway, I'm going to mention the show, Little House on the Prairie.
I love that show.
I thought you
Michael
would.
London. Oh
tremendous.
Yeah.
And but is that
were his kids homeschooled or almost?
I think so. Yeah, they were in a little home in a little schoolhouse, right?
But is that the type of unit you're talking about? They seem to have just really good values.
It goes to that, but even if you go further into the 50s, you have Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah.
You go back. You go into Sheriff Andy Taylor. You go into these people, mm-hmm. and Sheriff Andy Taylor was a single-parent home.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that tackled something that was very new in that time and that wasn't really acceptable. But still, here you have a little boy that was accountable to his father. His father knew where he was and what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And it's keeping that accountability as a family unit and realizing that we can't allow schools, we can't allow teachers, we can't allow politicians, we can't allow television or the internet to have so much influence on our children and not have any say in it. And I think that it's really valuing that family unit. The family unit is the cornerstone of America. It doesn't take a village. It doesn't take a community. It takes a family. Whether you're single family, whether there's two parents in the home, whether you're grandparents raising a child, you need to remember that that is your family, and that's something you have to keep accountable, and you need to keep values alive in that. Because as a country, I don't think there's a fix it. I don't think there's a fix for all. I think that unfortunately we've come so far down this road of no morality and no accountability that people don't want it anymore, and they fight any kind of legislation that keeps people accountable because people don't want to be accountable. They want to be able to do what they want to do and not have to answer to anyone. You know what? It's a lot easier to live your life that way, but it's not a purposeful life, and it's not in the end going to lead in a good direction, which I think many of us can see. So.
Right. Who's accountable for getting a balanced budget or any kind of budget in our country right now?
Well, apparently it's supposed to be the politicians, considering we voted them in. But apparently that's not important. And that's not blaming one side or the other. That's saying, you know what, as politicians,
I agree.
We need to set your things aside. We need to stop being Republican, Democrat. And we need to say, you know what,
yeah.
we have a serious problem in this country. And my children one day aren't going to have an America to live in if we don't take care of this, because we are $16 trillion in debt. And it goes beyond Republican, Democrat. It goes to say we have a responsibility to this great country. Country to keep it going in our founding fathers. So,
well, you know, I wrote down something. This is my notes that I keep personally. A note to myself: how do I keep myself accountable? I like that. So that's something I'm going to take as a personal challenge. But you know, you're talking about starting up with family, and you've talked about the influence of your parents. And one of the things we've talked about in the past on the show is having a social circle of support.
Mm-hmm.
And that's surrounding yourself with the right people. And that's something successful people do, or people who are trying to transform themselves. First, you need to change your behaviors, your thoughts and your behaviors. And a big part of it is to have the right people around you.
Mm-hmm.
And successful companies that have gone from mediocre to great, the first thing they did, they'd spend years getting the right people on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
They call it getting the right people. Well, you know, some of us are fortunate. We were born with the right parents. And we start out with the right people around us. So anyway, I just thought that I just made that connection while you were talking.
No, and that's very true. And that's one thing that I remember my mom used to tell me is it easier if you're up on a bench, is it easier for somebody to pull you up or is it easier for them to pull you down? And that's mm-hmm. something to remember, that you are what you hang around.
Mm-hmm.
And if you surround yourself with successful-minded people and people that support you, you're going to continue to move in that direction. And mm-hmm. I'm a living testament to that, because I began to surround myself with people that were not successful. Mm-hmm. I had a year and a half, 2 year hiatus in my life where I didn't move forward. I moved backwards because I was surrounding myself with backwards thinking people, not forwards thinking people. And I think it's so important that, and what's the other old saying, you know, one bad apple ruins the whole barrel.
Yeah.
And that's mm-hmm. so true. You have to keep good people in your life that keep you accountable. And you know what? If that means not having 1,000 friends, that means not having 1,000 friends. It's better to have one friend that sticks closer than a brother, you know?
So the other saying is a chain is only as strong as its weakest link.
Mm-hmm.
So find the good people. Mike, I totally agree with you. Can you believe the whole hour is zoomed by?
Time flies and you're having fun. You guys are a lot of fun.
Well, you are awesome. I really see you as such a great role model. At age 22, your wisdom is phenomenal, and that's a credit to you.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's choosing not to be a victim, because, again, never judge a book by its cover. A family may seem like the perfect example, but you don't know what's actually happening. So, yes, I've experienced a lot of junk in my life, but you know what? It's choosing not to be a victim and taking experiences as lessons learned and not as things and excuses to fail. So.
And everyone can watch Vanessa Rose Valero on, as a TV host, Joy in Our Town, TBN, that's Channel 21.
In Arizona, we are statewide, though, as well, so check your local listings.
Wow, so go to VanessaRoseValero.com for all the updates, what's going on. Vanessa, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank
this
you.
Was great. We'll have to have you on again, no question. Mike, how do they get in touch with you?
Oh, you can call me at 602-431-2222. That's 602-431-2222. Well, you're 22, huh, Vanessa?
I am.
Wow, that works
a good number.
And we'll see everyone tomorrow on Breakthrough Sports. Okay. Have a good night.
Arizona Station, 1010 KXXT, Tolleson, Phoenix.